So now go to mantra number 13. Aho ratro ve prajapatihi tasya reva prano ratri reva raihi. Pranam va ete praskandanti ye. Divaratya sanyujyante. Brahmacharyameva tadiratro ratya sanyujyante. Aho ratro vai prajapati. So aha means day, ratra means night. So this day and night of this 24 hours indeed is Prajapati alone. Tasya, of that day night combination, aha eva pranaha, that which is day is actually prana. Remember, we are dividing everything into two. Ratri eva rai. So the night is rai, the daytime is called prana. Pranam va ete praskandanti divaratya sanyujyante. Big thing here. So here we may feel that the teacher has taken a little bit of a diversion. But the teacher here is trying to give some injunctions, some instructions to the householders. What he is saying is, at the time of the day, when there is prana as the presiding deity, at that time, rati sanyujyante, if the householders are engaged in passion, they are indulged in passion, then those people during the day are really wasting their energy. On the other hand, tad ratro vratya sanyujyante, if this passion is going on at night, and the sanyujyante means the mating, that's it, is happening at night, then those people are still considered to be following brahmacharya alone. So I feel that all of us are, what is this? But the idea is that the daytime is for dynamic activity. Daytime is given to us so that we can use our energy for a constructive purpose to remove mala, vikshep and avaran through karma yoga. So therefore at that time, if sanyujya is going on, if that is the primary purpose during daytime, it is waste of time and energy. And the Upanishadic Rishi comes out very strongly against wasting of time. Because time doesn't come back. In many, many manner, you will see that it is mentioned. Like you cannot step in the same water twice in a flowing river. that indicates that once the moment is gone, that moment is not going to return back. So therefore, wasting of time, wasting of resources, wasting of energy is considered to be inauspicious. So therefore, this is some instructions given to householders, we can say, that the activities that must be performed in the daytime must be something different than being in passion. The daytime passion should be in helping the society and helping yourself, rediscovering the self. That is the idea. So therefore, those people indeed will be brahmachari only if such activity is restricted to night time. Gurudev has also given his commentary, you can read that in this time. As far as I know, I don't think in Shankaracharya's commentary also another meaning is taken out of this. So therefore I tried to look for some inference, honestly, but this is the direct meaning and everybody is sticking to this. Okay. Now with this, the Kala Srishti is also over. Remember our sequence, Mithun Srishti, then Loka Srishti and Kala Srishti. So pairs is created, space is created, time is created. Now if space and time is there, there has to be individuals in there, otherwise what is the purpose of having a space and time if it's all empty only? Because remember the initial question was Praja, how is Praja created? That hasn't come yet. But in order for Praja to come, there have to be a provision for food, their sustaining of life, sustenance of life has to be there. Therefore now Anna Srishti is coming. So food is created. Annam vai prajapatihi. Tato havai. Tadre tasmadimaha. Prajaha prajayanta iti. So we will look at it. First of all, the first part is very easy. Annam vai prajapatihi. So, food is created. That food is also nothing other than prajapati. Therefore, wasting of food is prohibited. When we waste food, we only eat half the food that is in the plate and the other half goes in the gutter. That is like throwing my father into the gutter. That is the attitude that we must have. Because the food is nothing but Prajapati, he is the forefather of our father. He is the creator. So therefore the food has to be praised. Food has to be worshipped as nothing other than Bhagavan himself has come to me as energy to sustain my life. In the modern world, it has become very fashionable to leave little bit of food in the plate. To indicate that I am not that hungry. I was well fed, but thank you. This food was also good, but a little bit I will leave behind. In some civilization, some food has to be left behind. Otherwise, the yajman will feel that I didn't feed this person enough. This is all nonsense in our civilization. In our culture, food has to be completely eaten up. That is the reverence to Prajapati. Therefore, food is Prajapati. Tata havai. From that indeed, tata retas tasmat imaha. From that food alone, the human seed, the sperm, is born. What is the importance of sperm? Remember, the original thing was that having created the Mithun, the idea was many, many people will be born. So from Anna alone, from food alone, Retas, sperm is born. Oh, now it is not specifically mentioned here, but we have to assume that this Anna is also of nature of prana and rahi. So therefore, although ovum is not mentioned, we have to say that sperm by itself is useless. Without the ovum, no new praja can be created. So therefore, retas as well as sperm as well as ovum. Prajaha prajayanta iti, from that all the people are born. Now you can understand why the previous stanza had that instruction. Because the Anna was going to be introduced, and Anna was going to be introduced as the one which produces the sperm, which then in turn will produce more praja. So progeny will happen. So therefore, before that was introduced, the concept that such sanyoga needs to happen only at the time of the rai, not at the time of prana, that is to say dark, not daytime, was introduced first as a scriptural instruction for the benefit of mankind. So prajaha prajayanta iti, from this the whole world is created. Okay. Tadye havai tat prajapattin vratam. Charanti te mithudam utpadayante. Tesham eveisa brahmaloko yesham. I think it's better if we do it at tapa. So let's do this again. Teshame vaisa brahmaloko yesham tapaha. Brahmacharyam yesu satyam pratisthitam. Okay. So this brahmaloko and the characteristics of the brahmaloka, meaning what kind of people will have the ability to go to brahmaloka, is being mentioned here. But before that, this concept of prajapati vratam is given. Now you wonder, what is prajapati vratam? Prajapati vratam is the same thing that we saw in the previous to previous stanza. So what time the sanyog needs to happen, with what attitude the sanyog needs to happen, etc., is called prajapati vratam. And it is very important actually, because science is also telling us today that the attitude, the mental composition of the mother and father at the time of conceiving has a direct impact on the child that is being born. And it is now actually proven that at the end of, I think the doctors can tell me better, but at the end of 4 months, after the child is in the womb for 4 months, the child is able to recognize all the sound and activities that are going on outside the mother's womb. And therefore, the sanskara of the child has already started. Whether the child listens and understands or not, that is a different thing. Actually, in our sastra, it is said, Astavakra, for example, learned all the sastra from his father, because father was chanting when he was still in the mother's womb. Maybe that may be, I don't know, that may be a stretch. But the point is that sanskara will definitely start building, because even science believes in that. Now, the real fact is that in those Vedic times, A child was conceived with the notion that I want to conceive the child. So Sanyoga was actually happening with the notion that I want to bring about my child in this world for the betterment, for the continuation of my progeny and for the betterment of the world. So it was really not an act of passion. It was an act of giving back to the world, which has given the world so much to me. With that attitude, children were conceived. So therefore, with that attitude, children are conceived, then that is called Prajapati Pratham. And the progeny that is created with them, for those householders who are following the Prajapati Vrat, they actually Mithunam Utpadayante. This is Phalasruti. Phalasruti means if you do this, this will happen. So Phalavanshruti was what? They are the only ones who are capable of Brahmaloka. If you don't follow this Vrata, you will not reach Brahmaloka. That one has already come again, actually, I think. In the second line also it is coming. But other Phalasruti is that they will be blessed with a son and a daughter. Because most parents actually want some balance. So they want a son and a daughter. Whether they get it or not is a different matter. So therefore, here this Mithun is indicative of a pair will be born. And we have to understand a pair meaning not two daughters or two sons, but a son and a daughter. And in the scheme of things, it is important, because if we don't have 50% women and 50% men, no progeny will be very difficult then after that. Continuation of the progeny is difficult. So in by and large, we have 50-50. 50% are women, 50% are men. So charanti te mithunam utpadayante. One, those people who follow this Prajapati Vrat, they will actually have a pair born to them. Tesham eva esha brahmaloka. They alone have the right to enter brahmaloka. They alone have the capacity to enter brahmaloka. Why? Because in Brahmaloka, what prevails is tapa brahmacharyam yesu satyam pratisthitam. In Brahmaloka, tapas, brahmacharya and satyam alone abide. So again, what is tapas? Penance. What is penance? Penance is not necessarily physical torture, but penance is remembering the ultimate goal of life, meditating and contemplating upon the goal of life is also tapas. Indeed, actually, Upanishadic study is also mentioned as tapas only. It is a sadhana, tapas. Then brahmacharyam, we have already seen, brahman charanti iti, brahmacharya. But for householders, an exception is made. Just to make it indicate that you don't have to be a brahmachari to attain brahmaloka. Sanyog can happen when the rai was in charge. Don't have it when prana is in charge. Because it is a waste of time and energy. That is already mentioned. And then satyam pratisthitam. Meaning truth. Meaning existence alone abides in brahmaloka. How do you say that? Because through Prajapati, everything has been created. And in Prajapati, only everything is abiding. So a simple example we can say is that because of space, we have our own space. Because of total space, we have our own space. Without the space, I would not have my own space. That means I as an individual will have no entity. I cannot exist. So it is because of the space that I am existing, therefore we can say that in space existence is there. So we can superimpose existence principle in space. Similarly here, the existence principle Satya is being superimposed on Brahmaloka, where Prajapati resides, where Brahmaji resides, and we are told that therefore it is of the nature of Satyam. So Brahmacharyam, Tapas and Satyam. Don't misunderstand Satyam as speaking truth. That is a very superficial, necessary but superficial meaning of Satyam. Following Satyam means following the principle of existence. How do you follow principle of existence? Principle of existence, where the existence has come from. So you must always meditate, contemplate upon where the existence has come from. So here existence has come from Prajapati. In the Paravidya, existence has come from Brahman. Therefore, I am in Brahman is considered to be Satyam. So with this 15 mantra is also over. Now we come to the last mantra. Tesham asau virajo. Or we can break it, we can say Tesham asau virajah. Brahma loko na yeshu. Jihnam manutem namaya cheti. So jihvam and anrutam. Jihmam and anrutam are two different things. This has become sandhi here. So therefore they stand for fraud and falsehood. And namaya, three things are mentioned. What is namaya? Namaya means don't show something other than what you are not. So three things are negated. You should not have these three things. What are the three things? There should not be any fraud. There should not be any falsehood. Nor should there be any deceit. This is very important in spiritual sadhana. And those who have those, they have not been able to get rid of them yet. Na yeshu brahmaloko. For them, brahmaloko to bahut dur ki baat ho gayi. They will never be able to attain brahmaloka. For them, there is no Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka is only for those who have no deceit, no falsehood, and no fraud. But as a Falasruti, you can say that those who are Upasak, those who have done karma and upasana perfectly, according to the scriptural injunctions. In them, no deceit, no fraud, or no falsehood can remain. So we can turn it around on his head and we can say that therefore, in order for me to remove my falsehood, my deceit, my fraud, in order to remove all the negative tendencies, therefore, I must perform karma and upasana. So they go together. Therefore, never ever claim that our Upanishad don't promote karma and upasana. They always do. But as a means to the goal and not as a goal itself. That is the difference. Okay, so with that, the 16th mantra is really over. Not much we can say about it. Now I can give you a little introduction of the second query, which we are not going to take today. Some time is there, then we will either leave early or we will have question answer, whatever. But let me give you some introduction of the second query. So first of all, remember that the Prashna Upanishad actually comes in the Brahmana portion of Atharva Veda, and Mundaka Upanishad comes in the mantra portion of the Atharva Veda. Now, belonging to the same Veda, it is usually considered that the Upanishad coming in the Brahmana portion, which is the later portion, is actually the commentary on the Upanishad which is on the mantra portion. So therefore, with that logic, we should have studied Mundaka Upanishad first. Why are we studying Prashna Upanishad? Then why is this order given in such a way that Prashna, then Mundaka and Mandukya? It's a logical question that we should have. So the knowledge can be transferred in two ways. Either you give the knowledge in brief and then elaborate upon the knowledge through commentary, or you give the knowledge first through elaboration and then you summarize in brief. Both ways it can be. Don't say no, but we are also used to first, you know. So therefore, that we have gone through the Prashna Upanishad, we have not gone through, but when we go through the Prashna Upanishad, the Mundaka Upanishad should become piece of cake. Because you can say, oh yes, I know this, elaborately I have studied this, oh yes, I get it, yes, I get it, like that. We can go through Mundaka Upanishad, one sitting, done. No, but this is a logical answer to the question, logical question. Why is it that Prashna Upanishad comes first and then Mundaka Upanishad? Usually it should have been the other way around. But it is true that this Prashna Upanishad is considered to be a commentary on Mundaka Upanishad. Okay. Now, how the creation has happened has been answered. And the creation actually has gone back to Praja. So he is a human being, a living entity at least, he is not a human being. So a living entity, where the living entity has come from, is already shown. So that doubt in everybody, every student's mind must have been quenched. Okay, I know. Now the doubt may come is, how this living entity interacts and survives? This living entity like me has the ability to see, ability to hear, taste, touch, smell, etc., etc. What is that entity in me that allows my sense organs and all my organs of actions and my antakaran, etc. to function in a proper manner? And since through our tradition, we are programmed to think in terms of the substratum. We will know, these students will know, those who have approached Piplada, that although eyes is an instrument of seeing, it is the deity which is presiding in the eye which makes my eyes able to see. So therefore the focus will be on various devatas. And since all various devatas are all different devatas, the student wants to know which deity is the presiding deity over all these deities. In other words, what deity is the most powerful? Is it the presiding deity of the eyes? Is it of the ears? It is of the smell? Whatever. Which one is the most powerful? So that is going to be the second question. And the teacher will point out that all of them get the power from prana. Therefore, prana is the most important presiding deity. And in order to convey that, the teacher will convey that knowledge in a story form. That this same question was raised at one time. And in their false pride, all devata got up and said, I am the most powerful, I am the most powerful. And the prana did not say anything. Until everybody has spoken something, then prana very quietly said that, I think it is me, because of which everything is functioning. And then all other devatas said, no, what do you mean, what do you mean, how can you say that, don't you know my power, etc., etc. So at that time prana quietly started closing the book to get up, as if prana was going to leave. And the moment prana started leaving, all the other deities also had to start leaving. Then they realized that, yes, we are nothing if prana is not here. So therefore they prayed to prana and said, oh prana, please don't leave. If you leave, we will also have to leave. So please stay. And thus, prana was established as supreme. Now, this is glorification of prana. Then the question is, okay, but then prana is only one. How is it that the prana is actually looking over all these functions? Because normally the supervisor has, you know, some other two assistants, and the assistants have the managers, and the managers, whatever, it goes on. So therefore, the answer will be that the prana divides itself into five. Pana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana, or samana. That we will see in detail later, I am not going to talk about it. So these five are the pancha prana. And then the stuti or the upasana method of prana will be given to us. How to do meditation, what to do, how to glorify, after glorification, upasana will be. Then in the next three questions, the paravidya will be given to us. The higher knowledge will be given to us through the appropriate questions. So therefore the relationship between prana and atma will be established. And then this atma is to be meditated upon as om upasana will be given. And then finally the 16 kala question comes. This is a very poetic Upanishad actually. It's very straightforward. It's not very straightforward Upanishad. So therefore, it looks a little complicated. But the purport, the meaning is very, very important. So therefore, the 16 kala question will come. So we'll see what are the 16 kala of Brahman. So that paravidya will be given, and after that the Upanishad will be over. So we'll be able to hopefully do maybe two curries next time, and then we'll see how it goes. The first curry was most complicated because of so many ideas, new ideas are given. Okay. All right. So with this we close, and if you have any questions, maybe we can.
Comment on how the 16 16 colors are nourished by food.
Why? You have read it.
No, I'm just.
Okay. No, so the. I will not answer in detail. So the food, because you know that's sixth question. Actually, we have to see in detail. We already have seen that food is prajapati. Food is prana. And prana is that vital energy which sustains the entire personality of Bhagwan or a human being, however you take it. Ultimately, we are Brahman alone. So this all vitality which are indicated in these 16 colors are all nourished by Anna only, by Prana only. Like that. Anyway, so we will see it properly. But let's close then, there are other questions. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So, by the way, the waxing and waning is also called kala only. So, when it is 16 kala means the effulgence is complete. Less kala means the effulgence is there, but it is hidden. Hidden from who? Hidden from the observer. Who is the observer here? Jiva. So Bhagavan or Ishvara is always full of 16 kala, but we are not able to see because of our ignorance. That is the concept. Okay. All right. Other questions? Any questions? Questions belonging to what we have studied or any other Gargantu question? Yes. What do you mean, divided in one person or among other people? So how do you divide the space? You are occupying your space, isn't it? Space is only one. But when you occupy it, you call it your space. When I occupy it, I call this my space. A moment later, when I take off from here, somebody else will be sitting, he will say, this is my space. So although space is seemingly indivisible, we are dividing the space. So therefore, for the purpose of explanation, we say that space is divided. The purpose of perception, we say that the space is divided, space remains undivided. Similarly, prana is only one, but it performs five different functions. So accordingly, those five different functions are divided, but it is the same prana which is functioning through these five different faculties. Like that you can say. Okay. So it is the same prana that is pana. Pana means everything going in. Apana, everything coming out. Then, vyana. Vyana is circulatory system. Udana actually has to do with spiritual upliftment. But some people say also, you know, vomiting is udana. It's okay. Reverse is udana. Reverse why? Because we are all sitting at our lowest state. Then we have to actually rise to the highest state. If you follow the Patanjali and Marga, you will say, okay, I want to go from Muladhara to Sahasradhara, like that. But the idea is we need to evolve from human to God. So that is Udana, and Samana is digestive system. So all those are happening through prana only. Prana is one only. But we can seemingly divide it into different functions. That is a concept that we have in our scriptures all the time. We say the Ishwar is only one. But whether the Ishwar is creating, sustaining or destroying, we call the name of Brahmaji, Vishnu and Mahesh. We don't say there are three gods. The moment there is one more than one, there will always be fight. Shiva will say, why are you creating so many people? You are making me busy. And Brahmaji will say, why are you killing them so fast? I have to make as fast. You know, like, for story purpose, it's okay. There is only one entity. So creator is only one, Ishwar is only one. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.